Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, put your hands together. I need to see you screaming here. Shake your red hair like me. Woo! Yeah, yeah. How many of you glad to be free tonight?
Show because we can loosen up and we probably wouldn't say behind the pulpit.
Really?
But it's going to line up. It's going to keep their integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to line up. So I'm so glad to be on here. Thanks for all the listeners.
Yeah.
I know they're calling in.
Those are online and listening. Logged on to the Blog Talk Radio website, the Preacher and the Pastor Show. Welcome you all. We're excited. We're in the season of intercessor. You know, we're this month of October, the whole month of October. So some people are probably going to trickle in here a little bit later because, you know, they set the time to be up at 12 midnight because we're in prayer at 12 midnight. So they don't want to miss that.
Amen.
And so, you know, these shows are archived. So if you have to get your rest, that's fine.
Amen.
Because this is a breakthrough month.
Amen.
And people are receiving breakthrough already in their healing and deliverance and their freedom.
I am one. You know, things that I've been praying about, things that we've been praying about, things that we have been coming in agreement with, they have been showing up.
Yes.
They have been showing up. You know, God answers prayers.
Yes. That's how we communicate
prayer.
To God is through prayer. So if you're not praying, who are you talking to?
That's right.
Who are you talking to? So I'm excited.
Talking to them all and, you know, murmuring and complaining, but God has already given you all that you can ever
need. All that you need and more.
He promised you when two or three are gathered together.
Yes.
Touching and agreeing, say, there I am in the midst.
Right there.
I'm right there. And he answers prayers. It's not just me. There are so many that are on the prayer line, and they are giving their testimony.
Yes.
And how when we came into agreement and were praying about these things, praying about how they showed up. I'm talking about
immediately. Yeah, turn around.
So they have to wait no long time. We just started praying. We would be 8 days, 9 days?
8 days, 8 days. My faith, I mean, your
That's
faith has to increase for God to work. You know, we have to have faith for God to work. That activates.
Damn, people were crying about jobs. They, I got
jobs and
jobs.
Money. You know,
I
have money to pay my bills and it came through.
Here it is. You know, someone
relationships.
Yeah.
Healing.
Healing, yes, that's right. That's right.
So we thank God.
That's right. Thank God.
You all, Pastor Manny is going to be doing most of the talking today.
I think.
Because I'm still dealing with my mouth. You can tell how I'm doing my tongue. So until that gets better, I'm going to kind of like just let you have your way.
Well, we're going to let the Holy Spirit.
Let the Holy Spirit have his way. Well, you know, I'll kind of come in here, there, whatever. You know, we never know, you know, but I'm just letting you know what's front.
She's saying that, y'all, but my wife, she's going to be right there with me. I won't let her go anywhere.
I'll be right there.
She's going to be right there. Amen.
So today we have an interesting topic. We're talking about
loving like Christ.
Ooh.
Ooh. Can we love like Christ love? Ooh, loving like Christ.
Do you have what it takes?
Hallelujah.
You have what it takes to love like
That's
Christ,
right.
But will you use what you have?
Oh, we're going to get
to love like Christ.
Yeah, we're going to learn some things. We're going to learn some things about God. We're going to learn some things about Christ. We're going to learn some things about each other, relationship, children. It's going to be wide open. So get ready.
You know, back then, you used to have a shirt. People was wearing it. It had the WWJD, what would Jesus do? They would wear the shirt, but they wouldn't do what Jesus would do. They just
wristbands.
They were wristbands and everything. T-shirts.
I wanted one of those wristbands.
I'll get you one. They get your shirt. I'll get you one made.
They don't have that. I thought
you could put it on.
That's a brand, right?
No, people can make it. People are not wearing it like they used to, but, you know, that was a thing. And, you know, people say a lot, but would you actually do what would Jesus do?
Yeah, because people used to get stuck.
Be fighting with the shirt on. And just, you got the man on your wrist. You got the shirt on. What would Jesus? I ain't no Jesus. You say, what would Jesus do? He say, what would Deborah do? What would Chantel do? What would Jesus do?
What would Jesus do? That's right.
Amen.
But loving like Christ.
Loving like Christ.
Excited about
time. Amen. We're going to have a good time, too, as well. We want to, like my husband said, loosen up and take off your shoes.
Loosen up and talk.
Throw your wig to the side and take it off. Take it all the way off.
Get ready to be impacted
by
the Holy Spirit. Because everything that we are going to tell you, you know, we're just the messengers. You know, and, you know, the Holy Spirit is leading this charge.
Amen. Amen. All right, y'all, let's get started. Loving like Christ. Mwah. I love you, baby. God bless you. Let's dive in. Today, y'all, if you just have tuning in to the Preacher and the Pastor Show, we're talking about here on the show today, you all, I'm sorry, y'all, give me a minute. I told you I'm dealing with my mom, so bear with me here. This show is a show of self-help to pour into us the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and how we can love like Christ in such a cruel world engulfed with wickedness. So the Bible tells us, you all, we're going to go over to first of all, the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you all. Give y'all a little moment to get there. Chapter 13. As we're talking about loving like Christ, the Bible tells us here that in verse 13, in verse 4, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Y'all there? All right.
Amen.
All right. Let me just start at one right here and work my way down here. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Verse 4 said, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, and endure all things. And then verse 8 says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail, and whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is part will be done away. So we're talking about loving like Christ. And a lot of people say, I can't love like Christ. That's hard. I mean, can I really, am I capable of loving like Christ? It is in you. It is in you. When you become a believer and you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the ability, the capability and ability to love like Christ. You have a choice to make in how you will operate. You know, when you operate in pure love, in genuine love, when you walk in love. And so that's what we're talking about, you all. Loving like Christ. Amen.
Yeah, loving like Christ. Amen. Okay, so Holy Spirit, help me out with this one, because the world, this is because of the world. Every single body in the world, whether they love you or whether they don't love you, but every single body in the world is looking for love. Every single body is looking for love. Even if they are your enemy. Your enemy is still looking for somebody to love him or her. Hallelujah. They're looking for somebody to love, someone, you know, to be in the presence. So let's just go ahead on and get this established. The world has a way of viewing love or describing love, and there is a possibility that we, the people that live in this world, have been subjected to the worldly way of loving or how love is defined. I've heard so many singers. I've seen so many TV shows. I've heard so people here and people there, you know, saying what love is. I've heard every cliche from love does this and love does that and love is a beautiful thing. But let's go ahead and only get this thing established. See, the world has a way of you viewing love as love is a it. A love is a what? See, when you look at love in those lenses of love being a it, a love being a what, see, you can miss out on a whole lot of things, because I found that the it and the what, it'll be in position of coming and going. Mm-hmm. And when you have something, now we're talking about love, that's in position because of how it is described, of coming and going, are you really experiencing love? Are you really experiencing love, or are you experiencing something that comes and goes? Because love, how I found out, you know, what love really is, I got into the Word of God at in my 20s, so I'm well past my 20s, not too far past it, but I'm past my 20s now. So I used to ask, I used to ask men and women, godly men, godly women, I just would ask anybody, because I was thirsty for this knowledge of, okay, what is love? What does love mean? What does love mean? And I was asking that question. But when I got in the Word, when I got around the right people, I got around ministers, and then, you know, I got into the Word of God, I realized that love is not an it, and love is not a what. Love is a who. Love is a who. When I took off those glasses or those lenses of looking at love as a what, and love is a thing, and start viewing love as love being a who, my whole life changed from the moment where I understood that love is a who. So now we have that established. Love is established, forever established in heaven. Oh, let me say this again. The Word of God is forever established in heaven. So yes, the word of God is forever established in heaven. See, God is love. See, love is a who? God is love. And there's so many scriptures that tell us that, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. But love is a who. So when you start experiencing love, that means you are experiencing the who that is behind it. All right?
Yes, Lord.
So
yes.
I want to show you this. I want to show you this in one scripture. Love is not it or what. Love is a who. And the Bible tells us over here, if you have your Bibles, let's go over here to 1 John, and I want to show you this. I want to show you this in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4,
uh-huh.
And I'll be reading this from the ESV version of the Bible. I'm reading this. 1 John, or whatever Bible you have, you know, it's still going to it's gonna be translated. Maybe one word might be different or two, but it's saying the same thing. Scripture says the same thing. Okay, 1 John chapter 4 and verses 7 from ESV. Now, this scripture says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God." See there? Told you love is a who. "And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." See now,
mm-hmm.
This here is saying right here, you know, where love is coming from. You know, love, you know, is of God. So because love is of God, see, we need to understand that it's not a what. It's not a what. It's a who. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If we go a little bit farther over here to same chapter, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love." So now we got that established. Scripture says right there, God is love. So if you are loving like Christ, and that's what we're talking about, loving like Christ, all right? So
yeah.
We're talking about a who. So we're talking about a who, because scripture right here says God is love, and whoever
mm-hmm.
abides in love, that means abides in God,
yeah.
Then it says that whoever abides in love abides in God, and God
yeah.
abides in him. So now we got that established. Now we got the foundation laid out. So from today, if you did not know, you know, love is a who, and God is love. And always understand that when you love, when you are loving like Christ, what you are doing is
yeah.
you are giving someone God. You are giving these persons, whether it's male or female, whether it's your friend or your enemy, you are giving them God, because Scripture tells us, and we believe Scripture because Scripture leads us into that place where we need to be every day of our life, knowing that God is love. So
amen,
we'll ask
amen.
You a question. Love like Christ. Hallelujah. We are asking
yes,
you
Lord.
To love like God. Love like God. Give someone God. Give someone love. We are even commanded
yes.
to do so. Amen.
Amen.
I'll let my wife have.
Amen.
I know she has some.
We thank God. We thank God for the love of God and for Christ Jesus. And we know that love
yes.
is a person, because Jesus is love. You know, one thing I wanted to say and add to that is that above
yes.
all else, we need to guard our hearts, so everything that we do flows from it. A lot of us find it hard
uh-huh.
to operate in this type of love, the love of Christ, because we've been so hurt. We allow things and people to come in and to
uh-huh.
destroy that type of love that we have. If you're in Christ, you have the ability, you all, for people that just logged on, to love like Christ, to operate in that type of love, to give that kind of love. And I'm going to repeat it, because some people are just getting on here, to understand that
yes.
the Bible tells us that love is patient, you all. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor.
Yes.
It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It does not keep a record of wrongdoings. So, but we have to
yes.
guard our hearts, because what will happen, you know, we'll get to the point where we can no longer love like Christ, because we've allowed so many things to attack our heart. So we have to guard our hearts, you know, because everything, the Bible tells us, everything flows from the heart of a man, the heart of mankind,
yeah.
woman and man. So understand how important it is to love, and to love like Christ, being forgiven, not holding on to that, not being quickly angered and operating in anger, you know, and not boasting or self-seeking your way, what is going to be more beneficial with you, whether you hurt that person or not. A lot of times when we're operating outside of the love of Christ, we're looking out for our own self, and we only worry about ourselves and nobody else. I've heard a lady say, I'm only concerned about my two, which is my three and me, or my four and no more, or something like that. But when you operate the love of Christ, you're willing to sacrifice for others, you know, putting yourself last. But it doesn't mean allowing people to hurt you or walk all over you. We're going to talk about that as well, because loving like Christ doesn't mean you got to be weak and you got to allow people to walk over talk to you bad. But
that's right.
Understand today, people are still confused about love. Love is the greatest of all human qualities, you all, and it's an attribute of God Himself. So even my husband is saying, even your enemy is seeking love. You know, even the meanest person needing love, they needing that. I don't care what come out of their mouth. We all need love. We were brought here because of love. We are saved because of love. So we thank God for His love. We was created, you know, to love. We were created from love to love. So love involves unselfish service you out to others, to show it gives evidence that you care. Faith is the foundation and content of God's message. Hope is the attitude and focus. Love is the action. When faith and hope are in line, you are free to love completely because you understand how God loves, how Christ loves. So loving like Jesus is the best way to live, you all. When you love like Him, we can stop outside of ourselves and clearly see our loved ones and their needs. We can shed layers of selfishness, resentment, anxiety, pettiness, and entitlement.
Yeah.
And most of all, we can rise above our human imperfections and step into a transcendent love. So Jesus' model of love challenges us to stop settling for anything less than the most excellent way. So if you want to love like Jesus, okay, you all, if you want to love like Christ, the things that we have to do, we have to do it.
That's right.
It means that, you know, we have to do that astronomical. He teaches us to love our enemies, turn the other cheek, and walk the extra mile. This is loving like Christ. To our human mind, this sounds completely outrageous, but that's the point. You know, can you love like Christ? We were talking before everybody got on. You know, they had the shirts. What would Jesus do? And they was wearing them probably, but they was fighting in them shirts. They was cussing. They had the wristbands on. They was cussing and fighting and gossiping and everything, and, you know, conniving and, you know, and scheming and scamming. Even the person that was selling you the shirt was scheming and scamming with the shirts. What would Jesus do? You know, Jesus would love. Yeah. Jesus would go the extra mile. Jesus would turn. You know, they'd be like, I ain't Jesus. What would Tawanika do? What would Dorsey do? What would Carol do? What would Sharon do? You know, I ain't no Jesus, you know, but when you get Christ, you know, you get Jesus and you put on love. So if you want to love like Jesus, we have to open our hearts and our minds. We need to be able to fully utilize our emotion and reason and our thoughts and feelings. We can't bring perfect love into our imperfect, perfect lives without this kind of complete vulnerability, you all. Being able to be vulnerable in this way. A lot of people are afraid, you know, even in marriages, even in relationships, we are afraid to let down our guards to truly love because we're afraid of being able to be vulnerable and be completely vulnerable, and not only to receive love, to give love, but also to receive the love of Christ. Because if I'm operating in the love of Christ and you are, I got to be open to receive and not be waiting to see if something, you know, just too good to be true and just waiting for something to happen. So why do we have to be this way? Because opening your heart allows love to change your mind. When Jesus touches your heart, your mind can follow suit and be completely transformed. So allow your heart into the conversation with revolutionize your thinking. So we believe that's what Paul meant you all when we look in the book of Romans chapter 12:1 when he said you'll be changed from the inside out. You all. So if you're in search of a reasonable love, you'll miss out on love that's extraordinary, on the opportunity to find a love you didn't realize you had. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You know,
hallelujah.
You know what? You know, we got the foundation laid out. So, you know, let's pull some things out here into the open, because I believe that this is that place to where your enemy, which is which is Satan, because, you know, if you are in Christ, you know, then just go ahead and say that. You know what? God said I can say that. Holy Spirit said I can say that. When you are in Christ, then you are in love. And because that you are in love, there is a force that's always working against you, love. There is a force that's always working against love. It's always working against love, that force. And that is the enemy, which is Satan. And the opposite is the opposite or the opposer of love or of the lovers. See, we are a product of Jesus Christ. We call ourselves Christians. We definitely do. So that means that we are wearing his name. We are wearing the name love in our hearts, all over us, across our chest. So there are forces that are out here that are trying to get you out of that place. Get you out of love.
Yes.
Get you out of love. So let's just go ahead on and see this. Let's go ahead on and see this. Now, one of my favorite scriptures, one of my favorite scriptures, my wife, she'll tell you, like, yeah, that's one of his favorite scriptures. John chapter 15. She'll tell you this. John chapter 15 and verses 4. This is a scripture that if I didn't know no other scriptures other than Psalms 23, I knew this scripture right here. I knew this scripture because this scripture, it led me to a place to where I really can see, you know, what God was trying to say. John chapter 15 and verse 4. That's the only one that I knew for a good one. I mean, I knew more scripture, but this is one that I can just recite this one. And it says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. So now, we're going to stick to the subject. I know this right here, scripture has been preached in more than one way. It has, you know, we have so much revelation, you know, of this scripture. But we're talking about, you know, loving like Christ. All right. So because we are talking about loving like Christ, and we already have established the foundation that love is a who, which is God. So if I take this word abide, and I put this word love, so it says love like me. Now, that ain't what scripture say. We're saying, but we're saying abide in me. Abide in me. Yeah. He's definitely saying abide in love. Abide in me, because God is love. So love like me, and I will like you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, that means the love that's inside of you. You know, see, you can't do this by yourself. You can't love by yourself. You have to love like Christ, because it is Christ that abides in you. It's love that abides in you. And that's how you love, because it is Christ that abides in you. So you can't bear fruit of yourself. Now, you can't do that by yourself, because then you will get into that place where you are performing, or you are acting, or you're showing one thing, or you're saying one thing, but you're feeling a whole different type of way. And people can really see that. They just won't say anything because the world have taught you to look at the action or look at the it. And we're going to call this love. But, no, that's what the world wants to call this love. But, see, that ain't what God calls love. See, when you abide in Christ and when you love like Christ, see, you are in love. You're in love.
Amen.
So I'm talking to everybody that says that they're in love. So if you're in love, that means you're in God. If you're in God, that means you're in Christ. Hallelujah. And you are bearing the fruit. See, right here in John chapter 15, we have to look at this in the manner of being in Christ. That means you are a fruit bearer. So that means that you are a producer, right?
Amen.
So that means that you produce fruit, and the fruit that you produce is love. That's what you bear. You can't go see a tree. Here there's a tree, and this tree does not bear fruit. So is this tree really operating like it's supposed to? It's not bearing fruit. We know that in the Bible that Jesus, how he cursed the fig tree because the fig tree was not bearing of its fruit. And he cursed that fig tree. What are you doing, fig tree? Now this ain't what the Bible says. You showing me something. Now we know you a fig tree, but you ain't producing no figs off of the fig tree. Now how we gonna say to one another, you know, I love you, but see what we producing is the opposite of what we are saying. You ain't got to tell nobody. We can say that all day long, that I love you, that I love you, that I love you.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we'll say I love you. We're trying to convince ourselves that we love you. But at the end of the day, how you really feel is what you're going to produce. Now. Scripture is going to show us.
Mm-hmm.
If Scripture don't show you anything. See, when you get into the Word of God, that means that you are abiding in me, according to Scripture of John chapter 15 and verse 4. He said, you are abiding in me. So when you're in the Word, that means that you're in love, and then the Word gets inside of you. And when the Word gets inside of you, it is just like a seed that gets in there, and then it's going to grow down. Then when it grow up and grow out, then you're going to be able to see the evidence. You're going to be able to see the evidence. Now, we got that. Now, we know that we, which are lovers, hey, produce. Stop telling one another that you love one another, but you really feel another type of way. And that could be because you have not really set in your mind of who love is. You have not experienced, you know, the love of Christ, because you really have not believed in love. And you have not believed in love because you have not stepped in it. And you have not stepped in because you have not put your eyes on it. And the reason why you ain't put your eyes on it, because you had not opened up the book and looked at it and read it and believed it.
Jesus.
Amen. Now,
Amen.
I'm just here to tell
you. Let me get in there for a minute. Amen.
Go ahead, get you a little bit.
No, go ahead. I want you to go to Word Web Court and close out right there. I just want to, people chiming in. I want to just tell them what we're talking about here. You're just now tuning in to the Preaching the Pastor Show. We're talking about love and life Christ right now, so that you'll kind of know where we are as pastors speaking right now. Love and life Christ. You can go ahead and I'll come in right after you finish that.
Love and life Christ. Now, since we are right here in this John chapter 15, it says, abide in me and abide in you. So now you are counted as being in Christ. That means you are a branch off of the vine. You are a branch off of the source. And because you are a branch off of the source, you should be producing the fruit. And the fruit is not just for you to keep it for yourself. No, the fruit is for you to give. So now we're finding out, when you're loving like Christ, that means you're doing like Christ, or you're being like Christ, that means you give. Because we know that God gives. God is love, and God gives. And what does God give? God gives gifts, and gifts is not something that he give to you and he take it back. Now, we know the scripture. We know the scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? He gave love. He gave his only begotten son. And then he tells you what to do. Now, any one of you that believes in him, any one of you believe in who I gave to you, any one of you that believe in love, you shall have everlasting life. Now, that's a promise to you. But see, do you believe that? See, when you make it to that place of knowing that God is love, and God gave you love. He gave you Jesus Christ. You know, God is a giver, and He gave you Jesus Christ freely. You can't earn love. Hallelujah. You can't earn love, because love is a gift. Now, that means if it was earned, then that means it ain't a gift. So God gave you a gift, and that's just what it is. So we are the branches. We are the branches off of love, because we are the branches off of love. We should do the same thing. We should love one another just like God has shown us how to love. He has given us Jesus Christ. He has given us love. So that's what we should give to one another. And the evidence should show up. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. You just now tuned in to the Preaching the Pastor Show. We're talking about loving like Christ, you all. Loving like Christ.
Yes.
What does that mean? What does that look like to you all? We go over to John, you all. St. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, the Bible tells us, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So Jesus tells, Jesus says that our Christian-like love will show we are his disciples. So, you know, sometimes we see people being petty and bickering, and there's jealousy operating,
uh-huh,
division, even
uh-huh
in the church at all. Or
uh-huh
do we also see,
yeah,
do we see Jesus there? Or do they, you know, we have to ask ourselves, do they know Jesus? Do you know who Jesus is? As Jesus follows,
uh-huh,
by our love for one another, people are looking. You know, we're considering ourselves, you know, Christians and believers and pastors and prophets and apostles, and but we're not operating and people seeing something different. We're having all this division and confusion and jealousy and bickering and operating in anger and fear, but that's not what the Bible tells us. Now, when we're looking in verse 35, understanding what Jesus says, so love is more than simply a warm feeling. Or warm feelings,
yeah,
it's an attitude
that's
that
right
reveals itself in action. So how can we love others as Jesus Christ loves us? Now, by that, by helping when it's not convenient for us, you are, by giving when it hurts, by devoting energy to others, you know, others' welfare rather than our own, by absorbing, you are, hurts from others without complaining or fighting back. This kind of loving is hard to do. It really is. You know, when you want to last,
yeah,
time to say, no, I'm going to operate in peace. I'm going to operate in understanding. I'm going to operate in kindness. I'm going to operate, I'm not going to be easily angered. I'm going to operate not self-seeking. I'm going to operate with honesty and honor. You know, it's hard when somebody is coming at you, but will you still operate in love? Will you still turn around and help that person, even though they just hurt you? Will you still lend a helping hand? This is what loving like Christ looks like, you all. Now, this,
yeah,
is why people notice when you do it and you know you are empowered by a supernatural source. The Bible has another beautiful description of love, you all, and we talked about that earlier in 1 Corinthians 13:13, as I quoted it over to you all,
yeah,
and understanding how to operate in love and like Christ. You know, I just tell my husband, we have a board in our room and we write different sayings down and different scriptures, and I put on there my prayer, and I'm gonna love like Christ, and I'm gonna forgive like Christ. There'll be times, you know,
yeah,
I said, I love you, and me and my husband had this big debate. We went back and forth about love, and he was on the board. I said, no, it's my turn, and we went back and forth. Because my husband, he likes to teach, and he likes to, for some reason, he likes to go back and forth with me sometimes, and he'll say the same thing about me, and, you know, I'll be like, I love you, say, do you really love me? You know, when those times come when I'm like, oh, I'm frustrated, what is this? You know, and I said, no, from now on, because we have a choice to always operate in love, and love like Christ does, and not allow those things to cause us to be emotional and come out of that place of loving like Christ. We have Christ in us to always operate in that way, you know, to choose to operate. You know, you have the choice to just take a deep breath and say, you know what, no, I'm not going to go about it this way. I'm going to go about it the Christ way. And we're talking about that straight people was winning. What would Jesus do? They had the wristband, the headband, the bag, the purse, the shoes, the jeans. What would Jesus do? Can you really do what Jesus would do? How would you operate if someone did that to you? Will you continue to operate in love? Will you continue to forgive?
Yeah.
Will you boast when you have something more than others? I mean, will you be,
yeah,
humble in every situation? You know, people have enough that's going on, but we need some people that's going to operate in pure and true patience. That's what love is. Love is patient, you all. Love is kind. Can you be kind in an unkind or unfriendly situation,
yeah,
with someone? You know, it does not envy. A lot of times people operate in envy and jealousy. You know, it doesn't boast you all. It's not proud. If we can be
that's
in that
right
place, and we're loving,
amen,
like Christ, you all. Jesus' ideal model of love can rub off on our imperfect lives, you all. And you ask why? Because loving like him is more attainable than we realize. Again, when we get Christ, we get all of this. We get all of this. It's in,
yeah,
us. It's in us to be able to do this. Jesus gives examples and teaches us and shows us at many different ways, and we're going to talk about it, how we can love more like him. While it's not an exhaustive list of, you know, by any means, while these practices can provide us, you are, with an actionable starting point to apply to our imperfect human lives. And point one, so if you just now tuning in, we're talking about loving like Christ, and I'm going to give you all some information here. To love like Christ, to love like Jesus Christ, you all, we must be mindful. We need to connect more deeply within our lives and the people in them, rather than living a disconnected existence. You know, we have to be mindful. We have to be approachable. It's important for people to feel safe approaching us. In other words, we must become less exclusive in our interactions with others and more welcoming to those who seek us,
amen,
out, you all. And also, we got to be full of grace. Be full of grace. We must be willing to relate to others in a less judgmental way, you all, no matter what their situation looks like or where they are in their life, whether high or low or whatever. Some people, they'll talk about you, oh, they think they have this and that because they got all this, they high and mighty. Or look at them, they point, they did this to themselves. No, we have to be full of grace, you all. And we also have to be bold. We have to shed our fears. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control, you all. And we have to be self-giving. We need to become, we need to get to the point where we're, you know, to be self-giving, you all. Be self-giving, not self-absorbed, and be more invested into those that are around us, you all. It is very important. So over and over, Jesus demonstrated these qualities to show us that they're not unattainable ideas, but instead they are doable. They're a doable way to get an earthly handle on heavenly ideals, you all. If you're just now tuning in to the preacher, the pastor show, we're talking about loving like Christ. Can you do that? Can you love like Christ? Yes, you can. You have a choice. Yeah. Make the decision each and every day. Practice that like you practice anything else, to love like Christ, to walk in it. You know, and to show that and be that, become that, embody that. It is in you already. That my husband gave you the scripture, abide in him, he will abide in you. So amen. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, so we are covering a lot of ground here, and I'm glad the show's archived because even I want to go back and listen at some of these scriptures and just listen at some of this stuff because, you know, at the end of it all, we always find ourselves in that place of looking for love.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of those sayings that we used to hear, looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Whoever made that song, I don't really know the song, but I just know TV shows and all kind of stuff that came behind that. But you know what? We actually do that. We look for love in all the wrong places. You look for love in all the wrong places, for sure. I wasn't going to go right there, but obviously the Holy Spirit led me there. Holy Spirit led me there. I was going to go somewhere else. And since I said that, all right, when Jesus Christ gave his life for your life, he expressed a type of love like no other have ever expressed in this world. When he gave his life for your life. So now, we're going to go all the way past, because we're just going to just make it assume that everybody know that Jesus Christ gave his life. You know, he died and he was buried 3 days. He arose from the dead, and from then he ascended into heaven. All right, from right here at that point, when Jesus ascended into heaven, do we realize that the same time when he ascended, the Holy Spirit descended for you? So that means love. He ain't just leave you alone. Jesus Christ, God did not leave you alone. And because he did not leave you alone, he left you with that lover called the Comforter, also called the Holy Ghost, also called the Holy Spirit, and every single body that accepted Jesus Christ, that believes, you know, in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know, and confesses with their mouth, the Holy Spirit entered inside of you. So that means a gift. We're back at that gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit entered inside of you. And the first thing that you experience when you receive the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, guess what you experience? The first thing was the very thing that you didn't have in the first place. Love.
Jesus.
You experience love.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
You experience
Hallelujah.
Love. Yes.
Amen.
That is something to say thank you. And we look for love in all the wrong places. And the reason why we look for love in all the wrong places is because we're not looking to the Holy Spirit to lead us to that place. The Holy Spirit leads us. God leads us to that place. And when when you be in the wrong place at the wrong time, there is a 99.9% chance you're going to experience hate in that place. Or you're going to experience the opposite of love. You might get lucky. You might get lucky and end up in the wrong place and experience love. But more than likely, don't you go over here into some unfamiliar territory and thinking somebody going to love you. No.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit does not lead us into that place. That's right.
Amen.
Does not lead us into that place, being in the wrong place, looking for love in all the wrong places. All right. So now.
Amen.
Now we got that.
Amen. Let's hear from the people.
Amen.
Let's see if anybody
yeah,
has any comments or questions at this time, because we have about 15 minutes left in the show here. As we're talking about love and like Christ, anyone have any questions or comments, all you have to do is press 1. We want to hear from you. If you're logged on to the Blog Talk Radio Show website, the Preacher and the Pastor Show, give us a call here at 845-277-9213. We want to hear from you regarding the topic tonight, love and like Christ. Amen. Amen. We have a caller here. Last 4 digits of your social is 1975. Welcome.
Hey, this Kim, and that's my phone number. You didn't say social, but it's okay.
Yeah, you said social.
I mean, last 4 digits of your phone number. That's my date. I'm thinking, I'm looking at the last 4 digits of your phone number. This is my date of birth, 1975. So I was the last 4 digits of your social. I'm just like,
I started laughing because yesterday my friend called and I told her I'm working on a new song called Real Love. And I told her, if you don't have the love of God, you don't have real love. Anything else is counterfeit. You can't love your child without the love of God. You can't love your spouse or whatever. You know, I was letting her know because God is love. So anything that you say that you really love, it has to originate from God. And so I started singing the song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. I actually started singing that song. I said, you'll find yourself end up looking for love in all the wrong places when you have that counterfeit love. And so for you all to say that again tonight, that was hilarious to me. I started laughing. I'm like, go ahead and confirm it, Holy Spirit. So, I came on a little late, but I got just what I need to hear, you know, because I'm a big proponent of God's love. It's nothing like it. So keep doing a great job, and I love both of y'all with the love of God.
Oh, we love you, too. God bless you, sister. Minister Kim Raffer, God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
We look forward to what God is doing in your life. Amen.
There's one thing.
God bless you, sister.
Give me two minutes, because we got to put this out here out of love.
Oh,
because if we don't put this out here out of love, Satan might try
to
hide in the little cracks. All right. Thank you.
Yes,
so love too. Okay. So now let's bring to the light the reason why that we can find ourselves coming out of love inside of relationships. Now, I'm not going to go too deep into this because this can be a whole nother show. But the reason why we come out of love, it's because there is a force that wedges himself in between you two lovers.
Yes.
And when he wedges himself in between you two lovers, he likes to minister to your mind. He want to minister to your mind, but focusing on ministering to your emotions. See, when you let Satan minister to your mind, he's going to attack your emotions. And when he attack your emotions, he's going to start accusing, I'm talking about you lovers, your husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend, baby mom, baby daddy, whatever it is. I'm talking about, see, you're going to say something, and then here it is, you allowing Satan to minister to your emotions. Oh, this is what they meant about that. And then, you know, when you start to listen to that, this is what they meant about that. You're going to start to feel, and now you're going to start to act, and now you're going to start to question if they really love you because they said that. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
See, that's what's going on. That's how you come out of love. I'm talking about when you are in love and you come out of love because you allow someone to minister to you. They're in a position. They're in between. They're not supposed to be there. See, that's God's place. It is God's place to be right there in the middle of it all. But see, when Satan is in the middle of it all, we said that love produces, love is a producer, is a giver and a fruit.
Mm-hmm.
See, when Satan gets there, it's just the opposite. When he gets right there in the middle of you and your lover, see, he's going to take. He's going to kill it. He's going to steal it from you. He's going to destroy it. He's going to turn you against your husband or turn the wife against you. You're saying all manner of word that does not come from the kingdom of God. And then when you say all manner of words that don't come from the kingdom of God, It didn't hit you in the emotion, and the emotion had to affect your mind and affect your heart, and now you're over here feeling every single thing that Satan has for you, and when you want to separate yourself from what God had put together. Because you don't want to forgive. Hallelujah. You don't want to forgive, and you don't want to move on. You want to hold these grudges, and you want to just stay right there in that place because you have found a little taste of what hate feel like or what evil this feel like. And here it is. You just want to do all these things. And how far does it go? I don't know how far it's going to go. It can go as far as you let it go, as long as you keep on letting Satan talk to you. So that's why we come out of love. Realize that God loves you. God loves your husband. God loves your enemy. God loves every single body. Satan hates. God don't hate. Satan hates now. Now, so we need to know that. We need to know that. Loving like Christ, that's what loving like Christ means. That means that you're going to produce those things like humility when you're loving like Christ. You're going to produce gentleness when you're loving like Christ.
Yes,
you're
going to
produce forgiveness when you're loving like Christ. Didn't God forgive you? Didn't God spare you? Didn't he have mercy on you? Didn't God love you even when you are was a sinner or you're still a sinner? Don't he still love you? Because he still gave his life for you. So that's how you love like Christ. Doesn't he have patience with you and self-control? God doesn't get angry with you, so why are you getting angry with one another? I just had to say that. That's how you come out of love. You are still in good standings with God. And because you are still in good standings with God, be in good standings with one another. Love like Christ.
Amen. Just have tuned into the Preaching the Pastor Show. As we wrap up the last 2 minutes here of the show, we thank you all for tuning in tonight. We pray that God will continue to bless you and grow you in Christ so that you'll be able to love like Christ. And we just thank God once again to come together, you all. I just want to say a few things here. Coming out the book of 1 Peter, you all, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through 9, the Bible says, But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Verse 9 says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling, and as each one has received a gift, minister to one another, a good steward of the manifold grace of God.
Yes.
Amen. And just looking at the scripture here, you are understanding what the word is saying. We should live expectantly because Christ is coming. Getting ready to meet Christ involves continually growing in love for God and for others, you all. It is important to pray regularly, and it is important, you all, to reach out to the needy, people that are in need. Your possessions, your status, and your power will mean nothing in God's kingdom, but you will spend eternity with other people. So invest your time and talents where they will make an eternal difference, you all. You know, we're not talking about that temporary, but eternal. So I want to talk about, you know, some of the myths that you hear out there that it's a common misconception that loving like Jesus means that you must become a doormat or a weak or a wimp or, you know, for people to walk all over you and beat you down and beat you up. You all, that's not true. So some people believe that loving like Jesus means we have to deny ourselves everything, miss out on all the fun and smother our joy. People feel like, oh, if I love like Christ, I operate in Christ, I can't have a good time, I can't enjoy life, but that's not true. So you all, we have the ability to, you know, have the ability to practice love in our daily relationships, in our marriages, you know, as my husband said, in our friendships, our family, and otherwise. It's actually the defining mark of human happiness, you all, when we operate in love. So when we give ourselves and do good to others, we use a higher level brain functions that trigger neurochemical reactions in our brains. So this, the results are a cascade of positive emotions. When we go out and we help others, I don't know about you all, what y'all do, what your mission is, but when we go out and we're able to minister, to feed, and to minister, to pray with other people, it brings a joy. It's a positive emotion that we get. You know, it's a release of a chemical emotion in our bodies. It's released from our brain. It goes over us. We get the sense of peace and joy and happiness to show that kind of love. And when we go in the name of Jesus, and when we go, we tell them that Jesus sent us. You know, God hasn't forgotten about you. Jesus loves you. This is, you know, we're not saying this is from us. This is from Jesus. He hasn't forgotten. We were sent by Christ to you, to minister to you, to give to you. And so do that. God designed us, you know, God designed us, y'all, to want happiness because he wants us to be happy. Because we, you are, we have it. We have to realize these things we think and we can, that bring about happiness, it actually works. These things we chase after actually hinder our ability truly to truly enjoy life, you all. We get used to pitiful pleasures that only last for a moment, and we miss out on the deepest enjoyment of life has to offer to us. So you are learning to love like Christ isn't elusive and out of reach or a pie in the sky theology. It's available to you and to me right now. So at times we will fail, but each time we dust ourselves off and we start again, you hear me say that we get back up again, we'll learn little by little and more by more as we continue to operate in it. It's not easy, but it can be done. And you all, if you want it, you know what? You can have it. You have that choice. As we spoke about earlier, you have the choice. You have that choice to make to love like Christ. There are times it may not be a lovable situation, but you have the choice to love like Christ every day of your life. And we just thank God once again for you. We'll have food for thought for my husband, Pastor Dorsey Manning, and then we'll close out with prayer. Again, thank you all for tuning in to the Preacher, the Pastor Show tonight.
Yes, food for thought for tonight. We're going to stick right here on this topic of loving like Christ. Loving like Christ, let's answer the question. By the grace of God.
Amen.
By the written word of Jesus Christ. Now,
amen.
You got the answer. That is the answer. As a result, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3 said, he who do believe, they do enter into rest. So because you're in the love of Christ, rest. Stop worrying about all these things. You know, just love like Christ and just do that. Just do like that and rest.
Stay right there.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen, amen. God bless you all. If you just been tuning into the Preacher and the Pastor Show, today's topic was loving like Christ. It's been a joyful show, you know, and like I said, I am walking in it, and I have made a choice to continue to walk in all the days of my life, no matter what the situation is. You all, we're in our prayer. In the month of October, we're praying every day at midnight and midday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Join us at 732-434-2510 at midnight tonight and also midday at 12 noon. Join us. It's the breakthrough month. Breakthrough in every area of our life. So come into agreement with us at these times, 12 a.m., midnight, 12 p.m., noon at 732-434-2510. Let us pray. Father God, we just want to say thank you. Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Heavenly Father, we are abiding in your word, holding fast to your teachings and living in accordance with them. It is our desire to be your true disciples. Heavenly Father, because you are the vine and we are a branch living in you, we bear much fruit. Apart from you, we can do nothing. Your son Jesus said, if you live in me and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. According to John 15:7, Father God, we thank you. When we bear much fruit, you, Father, are honored and glorified. By your grace that we have received, we will show and prove ourselves to be a true follower of your son Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He has loved us just as you, Father, have loved him. And we are abiding in that love right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Heavenly Father, you have assured us that if we keep your commandments, we will abide in your love and live in it. Jesus, as your son, he's obeyed your commandments and lived in your love. He told us these things, that your joy and delight may be in us, and that we, Lord God, and that our joy and gladness may be full, complete, overflowing. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this is your commandment, that we love one another just as you have loved us. And Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word, that for it is truth and it sets us free. And we are born of you, and we do not deliberately, knowingly, or habitually practice sin. Your nature abides in us, and we cannot practice sin. And because we are born of you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we have hidden your word in our hearts and may not sin against you. Heavenly Father, may Jesus Christ through our faith dwell in our hearts right now in the name of Jesus Christ. It is our desire to be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that we may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, your devoted people, the exercise of that love, what is breadth and length and height and depth of it, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We pray, oh God.
Yes,
we pray
yes,
in the name of Jesus. That we may know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all your fullness in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now to you who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to your power that is work and it works within us, and to be your glory, O God, in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout generations forever and ever. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. To God be the glory, and we all say amen, amen.
Amen.
God bless
Amen.
You all. We love you. We'll see you all tonight at midnight
yeah.
prayer. We thank God for
we you.
We
love
you
like
I
Christ
loves you. We love you like Christ Amen. Loves. Ain't nothing you can do about it but receive it
yeah.
in the name of Jesus Christ. Y'all have a good one. God bless you.
Come on, put your hands together.